David found a pension that his staff would love. He chose NatWest Cushion because it has a fantastic app that is easy to use. Everyone feels good, except David. He is ecstatic. Take a little more action with a NatWest Cushion workplace pension. Tomorrow begins today. Search NatWest Cushion. Capital at risk.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to The Advisor with Stacey Chalemi. Today, I am very excited because we have a very special guest today. We have Lydia Molinara, and she is a pharmacist, and she is a patient safety officer, and she advocates for the patient. And she has some great things to talk about when it comes to the ins and outs of healthcare and things that you should be aware of when it comes to healthcare. And I'm very excited to have you on the show today, Lydia. I think really people have to understand what goes on behind the scenes and what to be aware of, what, you know, the precautions and just to understand, because I think a lot of people sometimes don't understand the importance of understanding what your ability is when it comes to your rights of, you know, of healthcare and the things that you should know before you walk into a doctor's office and, you know, and the rights we have, you know, because not everybody is aware of all the different rights we have. So tell everybody a little about yourself and what you do, because I think it's amazing, you know, what you do for people.
Well, I've been a pharmacist for many years. I owned and operated prior to selling everything. And basically, my entire career has been based on trying to make sure that patients get seen and heard. And when I worked in long-term care and we did rounds with physicians and helped to write policy with the nurses, I really learned a lot about how things can go wrong when medications are provided, as well as when they're dispensed. And we looked at many different strategies to reduce errors, and hence my further training and education and becoming a patient safety officer. So really looking at processes to reduce errors because of just the healthcare environment and the setup of it. You know, if you imagine a care nurse trying to look after 20 people versus 10 people or in the hospital. So looking at ratios like that, staffing ratios, even pharmacists to patients. So I've kind of gotten a really good 30 years of knowledge from behind the scenes and then listening to patients' stories and understanding when I'm standing at the counter, things that have gone wrong, and being an advocate for patients where they come in and say, this isn't going well. I don't really want to take this medication. My goodness, this is too expensive. I don't want to take it. And helping to navigate those scenarios so that we can be advocates for them. Or just sometimes patients, you know, speak to pharmacists differently than they do physicians. So we would have that knowledge and learn that. So throughout that whole career, basically, I gathered lots of information. And what I came up with in the sense is, boy, more people need to know this because I've seen so many preventable errors happen. And I really wanted to provide that education. I had done a radio show called Talk to the Experts. And when people used to call in, I'd always be amazed at how many people would have situations and stories to talk about through their healthcare journey. And there always was sort of a common theme. And so that's kind of why I decided to really look at how do we make healthcare that's so complicated and so daunting for so many people really clear and give a good path so that it's kind of like your look both ways before you cross the road rule set. And that's when I came up with the acronym ACE, and basically it's through advocacy, communication, and education. And that's kind of what I've really tried to focus on in my main objective now, is to try and get that education and that information out to the lay public.
I love it. I love it. Now, you were recently on a TED Talk, and you also talk about the three ACEs, you know, explain to me, you know, what it is, because I, you know, you were telling me about it before, and I think it's amazing. But for the listeners, what does the three ACEs mean?
So when we look at advocate, we really are looking at the three pillars. So advocate, communicate, and educate. And so I'll explain by starting with advocate. So it all starts with this. You really need to understand that you're an active participant in your healthcare. It is your body being a partner in your healthcare journey with your healthcare team. They are not the dictators in your realm. They are your partners, and your responsibility is to speak up because nobody knows what's happening in your body. They don't live in it. You need
Yes.
to speak up about what's going on. So if you don't feel comfortable with something, or you don't think that that treatment plan you're actually going to want to put in place, or you're going to put it in place, you might as well say it then and there,
Yeah.
rather than leave and then just not follow the advice, because you're no further off in how you're going to get help with the situation that you went to the doctor's office for.
Right.
So it's really important that you understand advocacy is about not going against the healthcare professional, but rather explaining and having the sense of being really on top of what it is that you're trying to get across. So
Yeah.
that's where I say it's the be seen part of it. So the be seen part of it is, I want you to know this is what's happening to me. Or if you see something that's not right and you're saying, no. The doctor told me this was going to happen. Now you, the nurse, is coming in and giving me a different medication than what the doctor said. So that's
Yeah.
your advocacy piece. So really removing any barriers that you have, if you have any type of disassociation from past trauma in healthcare, which happens and we know happens, you do need to somehow get your message across. And that's the advocacy piece, not being scared to speak up. Not thinking that you're challenging the healthcare professional by speaking up. Because I often say, look, if someone came to your house and said, I'm going to landscape your entire beautiful backyard, and you say, okay, and you kind of go through what in your area you can plant so it doesn't die. And then the guys come in and start putting the plants in, and you're like, you're giving me all the plants that the guy said was going to die. You'd
Yeah.
speak up. So why wouldn't you speak up when it's your body, your health, which is vital to living, right? So,
Oh, 100%.
and living a healthier life or a better life without signs and symptoms is going to impact everyone around you. So when I say advocacy, I really mean understanding that speaking up does not equal challenging. And I mean, being assertive, not aggressive, is a great way to start with that. The communicate piece is really about tracking and really watching what are your signs and symptoms, tracking them, writing them down. And what do you write down? So basically, you need to write down what you're feeling. What are your symptoms? How long do they last? How severe are they? What's triggering them? You
Yeah.
know, I wake up in the morning and I feel like this, or it's every night before I go to bed, or it's while I'm sleeping. So that when you see the physician or, you know, the pharmacist and you're explaining what's happening, whether that be for yourself or for a loved one, you have a really good document to show and to explain.
Yeah.
So if I explain something where it's like, I'm going to go in and see the doctor, and I say, you know what, my arm's really been bothering me. And he's saying, oh, well, what do you mean? And I say, well, when I lift things up, it bothers me. And he's going to say, how often does that happen? And I'm going to say, I don't know, maybe two or three times a month, because let's be honest, who remembers? You know, you
Right.
can't remember every day that this happens. But if I
Yeah.
write it down and I say, you know what, every time I pick up a bag that weighs more than 5 pounds, and this has happened to me 7, 8 times this week, it's causing me to really stop what I'm doing. I no longer work out. I don't lift weights. I'm not doing this, or I'm, and then how it impacts you.
Yeah.
That is a much clearer picture for the physician, rather than, yeah, my arm sometimes hurts. So
Right.
the communicate piece is really about your documentation and something as simple as allergies. You know, I always say you have to have an ID card, emergency
Yeah.
contact, allergies, your date of birth, and your name. Because if you're ever in a situation where there's a car accident and somebody has to give you medication,
Yeah.
allergies is really important to have listed somewhere. And people say, well, I have it in my phone. That's great. I would put it in your wallet or your purse, because sometimes the phones go flying out of the car. So
Yeah.
nobody has that information. And it sometimes happens with your wallet. But I always say, keep it in your car. Make sure it's in the glove compartment or something, so that it's found when it comes to that. So even an
Yes.
emergency situation, the communicate piece is really important. And even, you know, this is, I know it's happened, because I was called one night where the mom calls in and says, look, I'm trying to deal with this. I'm the stepmom, but I have no idea what the allergies of this child is. And
Yeah.
my husband looks after all of that. And so I was, you know, trying to navigate this for her, because of confidentiality reasons, I couldn't give her all the information. So I
Right.
felt terrible, because it was like, you need to know this. This should be written somewhere for you
Yeah.
know? Have it on the fridge. Do something with this. Put it in a book. So it's really important that everyone in the family knows the health situation of the family and has a resource. So that's the communicate piece. Write it down and speak to to the healthcare provider. Have that information when they're asking. Know the clear scenario so that it's so much easier. And also, I find when people disassociate, when we are asked a bunch of questions, because that's what we do as healthcare
Yes.
professionals, we're trying to understand the whole picture. So we're going to
Right.
fire away 20 questions, and it's almost overwhelming, right? But
Yeah.
if you have it in a book or you have it written down, you feel so much more prepared, number one. And number two, that disassociation goes away because all you're doing is reading it.
Yes.
So it's just mechanical at that point, which helps with that.
Yes.
And then the educate piece is really understanding. And we often say, don't Dr. Google. What I say to that is be smart about how you're Dr. Googling, because one sign or symptom could equal 20 things. You know, a headache could be a brain injury, a brain tumor, or simply just a headache because you didn't eat.
Yes.
So, you know, it's you can look up headache and have 30 different things. So really be careful about how you're engaging in the internet. Good thing that we have it, because even myself, 30 years ago, when I was trying to see something, we didn't have the internet. Okay. So like
Exactly.
w there was encyclopedias that we had to look up. So you can check medical journals. You can see prescribing information right from drug companies to see what the right dose is. So when you're given a medication, you go to the pharmacy and all of a sudden the doctor said it's 300 milligrams for you. And then you can see, well, that's a really high dose. So you
Yeah.
can do before Dr. Google and then after Dr. Google. When you have the treatment plan, you can research, well, what is this disease? Does it really fit every day with what's going on? Because diagnosing is hard. I
Yeah.
mean, I give credit to the physicians who have to go to school for so long to try and figure out what's going on. It's not black and white. So the more information you have, the more questions you have, the better you get at narrowing down what to do to sort of get a diagnosis. And then when you get the diagnosis, what you can do to help symptoms, to help with your disease state, to reduce the amount of, you know, like seizures. How do you reduce the amount of seizures you can get by managing your medications and knowing what foods or what triggers to avoid? So
Right.
those are the three pillars. And what we've seen is
David found a pension that his staff would love. He chose NatWest Cushion because it has a fantastic app that is easy to use. Everyone feels good, except David. He is ecstatic. Take a little more action with a NatWest Cushion Workplace Pension. Tomorrow begins today. Search NatWest Cushion. Capital at risk.
Preventable harm is capable of being managed through these three pillars. If you become an active participant, there are studies that show everywhere that once you're an active participant, your chances of having an error occur in the health system reduces. And that's ultimately what I'm trying to educate people on is by being an active participant, we know that comes down. And we often say, well, it's not going to happen to me. Not a question of is it going to happen to you? It's just a matter of when. If you engage in healthcare, an error is going to happen. It's just a matter of what it is and when. And if you catch it, then it's a near miss error, and that's what we want. We want the
Right.
near miss errors. We don't want the errors. So if you go to the pharmacy and you pick up a prescription, you see the color is different. Sometimes
Yeah.
you'll be told, oh, yeah, we're using a different brand because that one is out of stock. Great. Now you can actually Google and check. Now, does that actually equal what my other medication was? And sometimes the generics, even though we say they'll all work the same, well, you might get an allergic reaction to that generic
Yeah.
versus another one. And there are certain disease states and medications that I would not change, because if you were consistently taking a medication again for epilepsy and then some brand changes, you now could get a seizure because it's not
Exactly.
going to absorb the same way. So these are the things where knowledge, that educate piece, becomes very powerful in helping you. And I often also hear, well, it's not my responsibility to know this, but it is. It
It
is
is.
your responsibility to understand because it's your body, and taking ownership of that is going to equal less errors.
Yes. And I think it was like over a decade ago, a long time ago, but I remember when a generic drug came out for the same medication I was taking it, and I always was told to take brand, and brand controlled me. And so they said I went and the pharmacist said, "Oh, no, take this. It's the same thing, same ingredients, and it's a lot cheaper." And after going back and forth with him, I said, I gave in and I took the generic home. As soon as I took the generic, I went right into a seizure. And when I told my doctor was like, it's not the same thing. He says that the ingredients is the same thing inside, but the outside coating is different. And that, that is a time release response. And for certain people, especially with epilepsy, if a medication just runs through your system, then your body is unprotected, and it's important to have a slow time release. And, there is a difference between generic and brand medication. There's a big difference. And people don't realize that. And I understand generic is good for people who can't afford the medications, and if it works for them, great. But there is a big difference, and it's not the same thing. And it's, generic is not going to work for everybody. And so people have to really understand that, not everybody understands that, even though it has the same ingredients, they're using different types and they're using different outside coatings, and it does make a difference depending on the person. And, so people have to understand that. And I agree with you so much when it comes to advocacy. It's very important, because I remember going into a doctor's office and I had some issues that were occurring. And it was a team of different doctors. And the first doctor, I did not like, the answer she gave me. I said, "Oh, no, I don't agree." I said, she gave me two options, and those two options, I weren't even an issue. I was like, "No, I'm not going to do either or." I said, "I don't think I need those." I said, "I know I don't need that. This is not what's causing these problems." And so, it was basically the whole team of doctors had the same outlook because they were all trained the same way. And then, and then so I went and I saw a different doctor who specialized in these symptoms, and he just shook his head. And the first thing that came out of the doctor's mouth was, "What morons." And he treated me completely different. He did different tests, and he gave me different medications, and within a short period of time, all the symptoms stopped, all the problems stopped, and there was no surgery that had to be done where these people were trying to push surgery. They were trying to put medications that had a lot of side effects on me. And this doctor, was able to take care of it very easily, and there was no harsh drugs involved. And so it really matters. If you don't feel comfortable with what the doctor says, don't always go at what a doctor says. A second, I always say, go get a second opinion or a third opinion. Before you just decide to do something or decide to take something, if you're having doubts, if you're having, or you're not comfortable, get a second opinion, and it doesn't, it's your right. It's, don't feel bad if the doctor's going to be offended. It's as you, as a human being, person suffering for whatever symptoms you may have, it's your duty to protect your own body.
Oh, absolutely. It's look, when we talk about getting second opinions, what do we always say? Like, get three quotes on something, right? So why would we look at healthcare differently? We need to make sure that the healthcare team that we have, we trust, and we have an ability to be seen and heard. That's my sort of like test, like when I'm speaking, are you understanding and are you listening to what I'm trying to explain? And, sometimes, and I've done this too personally, where it's like, your child is sick and you're panicked and you're worried. And as a pharmacist, I think of a million terrible things that it could be. And the doctor looks at the throat and says, "There's no strep throat here. This is just normal. See, it's not red, it's not bumpy. This is normal." And it's just like, okay. But then I'll go home and I'll monitor. Okay, like, is the fever going away? So, yes, sometimes the doctor reassures us and says, "Look, it's going to be okay." But then if it's not okay, you need to go back, right? So something like my daughter, she had an ear infection when she was younger, and I was like, "She's high fever, something's not right." Well, she woke up the next morning and her eye was basically swollen shut because she had orbital cellulitis. So at the time, I was like, okay, ear infection, let's start the antibiotic. Now, the next morning, I knew, well, this is emergency now. And we were fortunate that we caught it in time, that the infection didn't go to her brain. But that's what I'm talking about when I say you might be in a situation where it's at the beginning of the signs and symptoms, there isn't enough information to 100% know what's happening because
Yes.
it's just starting out. But once it starts to progress, don't stick with the same treatment plan of when those signs and symptoms look differently. Now
Yeah.
you need more intervention, and that's where you need to have a healthcare team that responds. So
Exactly.
I often say, like, when you're picking a doctor or you're picking a pharmacy, what kind of hours do they have? It's great in the beginning if it's like, oh yeah, you can come in, we have availability. Okay, what's the after call situation like? Because
Yes.
nothing happens from 9 to 5 Monday to Friday. It happens
Right.
at night and on the weekends.
Yes.
So like, what's in place? What does your healthcare team look like? What do you have available to you? And I know some things, it's sort of like, well, based on my insurance, I have to go see these sets of doctors. But try and pick right from the beginning who you know is going to be able to support you. And as well, like when you get started on a treatment plan, is it going to take 3 months before you can get back and see the doctor? Or can you,
Yes.
on your way out, say, okay, the doctor told me to try this for 2 weeks. I'd like to book another appointment in 2 weeks. Oh,
Yes.
just call us when you don't feel well. You don't want that,
Right.
right? You want to be able to go back in 2 weeks. I know that when we get into the healthcare system, it takes a lot of time. You're waiting, you're sitting in a waiting room. You don't necessarily want to keep going back for follow-up, but this is the challenge.
Yes.
We need to do these things, unfortunately, to get to the bottom of what's happening and to
Right.
keep on top of things. So it's just like working out, right? It's sort of this slow and hard and long process, but there's a reward in the end of it. And that
Yes.
reward is getting to better health.
Exactly. 100%. No, I agree with you. It's so very important. And I think it's really important to have that communication with that doctor. A lot of people are afraid to speak up. A lot of people are afraid to, or like I was telling you, I do a lot of advocate work, in communities. And the biggest thing I hear over and over again, and it upsets me, but it's like, oh, the doctor doesn't know what I'm going through. He doesn't have that, or she doesn't have that. She doesn't understand it. And they get this anger and they put this wall up because they're like, how are they supposed to know? How are they going to help me if they don't know what I'm going through? They don't have it. But no, they don't have it. But they were trained on a medical standpoint to treat people that have that condition. So you have to, as the patient, have a patient perspective and teach the doctor what you're going through, so the doctor has a better understanding and he could help you in different ways. And the doctor, has to help you and be compassionate and be willing to listen to you and communicate with you and find that happy medium, because if you can have a really good relationship with your doctor and communicate well with your doctor, it could be you will progress. You will definitely progress. But if you don't have that communication, the chances of you progressing is slimmer, and the most likely you will regress, because communication is key, especially when it's a patient and a doctor and you're dealing with some type of condition or illness.
David found a pension that his staff would love. He chose NatWest Cushion because it has a fantastic app that is easy to use. Everyone feels good, except David. He is ecstatic. Take a little more action with a NatWest Cushion Workplace Pension. Tomorrow begins today. Search NatWest Cushion. Capital at risk.
And I think being truthful and honest with your situation is so
Yes.
important. I mean, I would even say, I've been an advocate because people come to the pharmacy counter and tell me things and say, well, my doctor doesn't know this, but I
Yeah.
also do this, or I drink with this, or I do. And it's sort of like, yes, but telling me is great because thank you for the knowledge. I can explain to you how this medication now works if you drink
Yes.
with it, or if you use marijuana with it, or whatever that is. I can tell you if you're not going to take this every day, what that's going to look like for you. But
Right.
being honest about those things is really important. So I say be truthful, be clear, and be concise because, look, the doctor has no idea, neither does the pharmacist, what it feels like to be on those medications because
Right.
I don't take that.
Yeah.
So I can only explain from my knowledge base. But if you say to me, look, I wake up every morning and I throw up, I'm nauseous all day with this. then something needs to change because you shouldn't be suffering like that to try and
Exactly.
treat something else. There are options available, but if you don't speak up, no one is going to be able to provide those options for you.
Yes.
And I look at it like, you know, even in my own world, my own situation where I've advocated for family members and myself, I went to Emerge because I had been bleeding for 4 months straight and
Right.
nobody could figure out what was happening with me. I couldn't see a specialist. The appointment was 6 months. I was getting weaker and weaker. My iron was down, all of this. And my doctor was like shrugging her shoulders in the sense saying, you need to
Yeah.
see the specialist. So finally I went into Emerge because I couldn't get anywhere. And I had the emergency physician say to me, you have a polyp. And I looked at him and I said, I do not bleed. And that heavily, number one, and number two, have, you know, chunks of things coming out of me because of a
Yeah.
polyp.
Right.
That's not going to happen. And I know that
Exactly.
because I have the knowledge. But I said to him, something more needs to happen here because
Exactly.
that's not going to do it. That is not the reason why I'm having all this pain and going through all of this. I can tell you
Exactly.
right now, the same thing I did. I mean, I know what a polyp is, but I looked it up and I thought, can a polyp really cause all of this? Because now
Yeah.
he's telling me this is from a polyp. And I
Yeah.
look it up and I'm like, no, not what I have. So I had to re-explain. And, you know, to be fair, he was a resident. Maybe he hadn't had all those years of practice and
Right.
knowledge. And this was a gynecological issue. He's an Emerge doc. But when the actual emergency doctor came, because I asked for that, I asked as my right, I said, I want
Yeah.
to see the actual emergency doctor. I
Right.
don't, I thank you. I appreciate, you know, your opinion, but I'd like to see the emergency doctor. And when I sat with him, I said, I think I need an ultrasound. You know, I don't think that this is just visually something that you can see. Something's going on. And so he
Yes.
said, I agree. I'm going to get you ultrasound. And I said, and I also want a gynecologist to look at this and get in because I can't get in the community for 6 months. And so he
Yeah.
made those things happen. But it was because I said something and I
Right.
communicated, look, this is causing me a lot of problems. I can hardly
Yeah.
get out of bed. I
Right.
am in pain all the time. I can't keep taking, you know, anti-inflammatory. I'm going to shoot out my kidneys. Like I can't take close to the maximum dose every day of my life just to
Yes.
function. So
Exactly.
when he kind of understood, okay, this is why she came to Emerge.
Yeah.
You know, the emergency department doesn't just, you know, you just don't want to go there and wait for hours for
Yeah.
nothing. And so that was my last resort. And then I got some action and then I got some answers. And so I think it's really important, exactly what you said. People don't know what you're going through. And being an advocate, showing what you know, explaining yourself, really diving into what it is that's going on, that's going to help. And then when it comes to the treatment plan, you follow it. But things come up. It's like, you know, when I was talking about the landscaping, okay, now
Yes.
all of a sudden this tree needs to be trimmed. You know,
Right.
it looks great in the beginning, but then maintenance has to happen. So does your
Exactly.
treatment plan. Needs to be followed up, needs to be continuously maintained. And one of the things that I find healthcare lacks is looking at the whole person,
Yes.
looking at the entire situation, and really speaking to that. You know, I can't bring my mom here 6 times a day. I
Right.
work. It's impossible for me to do all of these appointments, to do this IV infusion clinic at the hospital 6 times a day. Is there other alternatives? Because
Right.
if you're setting up the situation to fail, that treatment plan isn't going to work. And so
Right.
that can sometimes cause more harm than good.
Yes.
So, you know, if you're struggling with it, go back and explain that you're struggling with it and keep that maintenance and
Right.
understand what you can do in your own day to day to help yourself with the signs and symptoms. So for me, I had to change certain things that I was doing. You know, I'm not running as much because that pounding is not good for me. So I had to
Yes.
find alternatives to help me with my lifestyle. And that's kind of what I think people need to also do and understand for their own health is how
Yes.
do you take action and not the quick fixes, right? We always just want the medication. I want to feel better. I want to do this. The quick fixes, like anything in life, it's the long haul. Quick
Yes.
fixes are not the answer to everything because
No.
they have their own risks too.
Oh, 100%. I don't even think there is such thing as quick fixes, even though you see it advertised all over the place. What, anything that I ever done that I've had success in, it took time. Nothing I ever did that, for any medical reasons, that actually helped me took, one, two, three, you're going to feel great in 48 hours and blah, 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 or 1 week, you'll be a new person. It's not true. Even when doctors start you on things, they say you have to wait 3 months, most likely, to see some results, and they're going to be minor in the beginning, and it takes time. You might, doctors might start to help you and they put you maybe on different medications or they might do certain things, but you're going to see minor changes little by little. But you'll see, if it's the right diagnosis and it's the right treatment, you'll start to see changes and you'll know that you're getting better. But nothing is like a one, two, three fix. Those things don't exist. And if you see that, you should run because nothing like that ever works, And if it might make you feel better for a short period of time, but guarantee they're just masking the symptoms and you're going to go back to square one because the root of the cause has not been addressed.
Exactly. And it's just like with children taking Tylenol. And so this was one of the things that I learned early on. When a child has a sore throat and we give them Tylenol and then we continue to give them, a pain reliever, you're masking that sore throat. And I actually had a mom, because as a prescribing pharmacist as well, I worked in a clinic where I would do strep tests. And the mom said, yeah, my daughter ended up with pots and pans because she had a bad strep throat and it spread. And I was just giving her Tylenol. So she seemed to be getting better. But then it got a lot worse, right? Because it sort of got masked. So even when you're taking medications, I often say, like something like a pain reliever, steer away from it, especially with a pain reliever, especially in children, steer away from it. See how bad the fever is. What is it spiking at? What is actually going on? Is the child actually getting better? Now, in the first 48 hours of that fever, it's too hard to know what's happening. It really is. It's difficult to understand. Well, is this going to be an ear infection? Why, is this just viral? Is it a urinary tract infection? Is this sepsis? My goodness, what is happening? So those first 48 hours, you might give a pain reliever to try and break the fever. But if it's not working, then you need to go in.
100%.
Don't keep doing that because you're thinking, well, that's what's going to solve it. And then the first 48 hours, I would then afterwards, I would back off on it and see what happens, because that's exactly what happens. I see this where parents are giving Tylenol or a pain reliever, and then when they back off, then the symptoms come through, right? The ear ache happens. Now all of a sudden, peeing burns and they say something. So that's why you need to be careful when you're using medications, because medications can mask symptoms.
Oh,
And so,
100%.
right,
They
we need
do.
to. They do mask symptoms. That's the whole point. That's what they're trying to do. So, there is this fine balance and it's difficult to navigate. But if you're on top of it and you take action for it, and like I said, become an active participant and really immerse yourself in what's happening and paying attention and tracking it, you get so much further ahead. And this principle lies in everything that we do. If you're going
100%.
to, learn how to drive a car, you're going to read about it, you're going to look at the road conditions. I mean, if you're going to learn how to play a new sport, you're going to have to do these things. So this is no different in healthcare, but I think we have an overlying assumption as well that healthcare is safe. We're in the good hands of people who have trained for years and years and years. True. You do have that. So that's what I would say is your coach. They know they've done a lot, but every person that they're training or every person that they're trying to treat is different. And so your responsibility is to advocate for yourself and to learn this information. The physician's responsibility is to listen and to make you feel seen and heard and to provide you with options. It ultimately comes down to you, though, doing those options and learning and understanding for your own self. Because just because the coach says do 30 push-ups, well, you have to say, I can't. I just had a surgery on my shoulder.
100%.
That is so versus, yeah, I could do 30 push-ups, no problem. I mean, there's a difference there. So that's where you have to advocate and speak up for yourself 100%.
Oh, definitely. And and when you were saying about that, when we were talking about masking symptoms, I was like, look how many people, especially I see out on older people too, and they just do it, even younger people probably do the same thing. You get a medication, the doctor gives it to you. It's starting to make you feel better, but it's not, you're having side effects from the medication, but you don't really understand because it's masking symptoms, it's not really curing the root cause. But it's giving you side effects. So then you go back to the doctor and say, well, I feel a little better, but then, I have this, this, and this. Then the doctor gives you another medication to mask those symptoms. So now you have two drugs that you're taking, and then, you're getting either interactions or you still have some side effects. And then they go back and they give them another medication. Except instead of going to figure out what is the root cause, like we talked about with the strep throat that you had mentioned, what is the root cause? Let's stop masking the symptoms. And find those doctors out there that want to take the time to actually figure out what the root cause is. Let's figure out how to heal the root cause and get you to the point where you can be healed from this condition or have this condition sustained where you could actually live a healthy, happy, productive life. And that's what people have to realize. Just because your doctor gives you a prescription doesn't mean that you have to take it. Maybe get that second opinion. Maybe, go for that third opinion. Maybe go to a different type of doctor, And like you said, let's, do the research, write the questions down, communicate. If you're taking, medical marijuana and you have a condition and you're taking medication for it too, tell the doctor because the doctor can't help you properly unless you're honest with the doctor. If the doctor says, well, you drink, and you're not supposed to drink with the medication, you have to be honest. You might be afraid, but you have to be honest, and you have to, communicate. There are many times when I've went in, and the doctor asked me questions, and I was a little nervous. How is he going to respond? But I was honest, and he was positive.
David found a pension that his staff would love. He chose NatWest Cushion because it has a fantastic app that is easy to use. Everyone feels good, except David. He is ecstatic. Take a little more action with a NatWest Cushion Workplace Pension. Tomorrow begins today. Search NatWest Cushion. Capital at risk.
It doesn't, you're not, they're here to help you. They're not here to hurt you. So, and if you're doing something that's going to hurt you, they're going to let you know. Now it's you as the patient, is your option is, okay, he's saying or she's saying, don't do that because it's going to hurt you because X, Y, and Z. So you go home with that knowledge. Are you going to stop doing that or are you going to continue? So by being honest, doctors can gear you in the right direction and they can say, well, if you do this, this is how you're going to get better. If you continue to do this, this is how you're going to end up still feeling the way you are or worse, So you have to have that honest communication, and if you have a doctor that is not going to treat you right and is not going to respond well to what you're to your honesty, then you as a patient have the right to look for other doctors.
Well, yeah, you have a right to be in a safe space.
Yes.
That's, absolutely. No matter which healthcare professional, if you're in the hospital and you have a nurse that's treating you, if you are going to physiotherapy, if you're going to the dentist, any healthcare professional has to provide you with a safe space where
Yes.
you feel that you can tell them anything because there's an embarrassment piece, but there's also a judgmental piece. So the
Yes.
embarrassment piece, I say, out the window. When you're
Yes.
talking about healthcare, you talk about every body part doesn't matter. You need to
Exactly.
just let that go. That you have to just automatically let go. But the
Yes.
judgment piece is, I sometimes feel it's a lot of our own inhibition.
Yes.
We feel like it's someone's going to judge because I'm not following the exact standard rules. Do you exercise? Yeah, I exercise 3 times a week, 30
Right.
minutes. And in fact, maybe you do that every 6 months.
Right.
So just be honest. There's no, if you feel that your healthcare professional is going to judge you for being honest in your
Yes.
situation, then that's again, you're not being seen and heard.
Right.
And if you're going to the dentist or the dental hygienist and you're getting your teeth clean and you say, oh, I floss every day. Okay, they know you don't floss every day. They're gonna
Yes.
see it.
Yeah.
So it's gonna come out anyway. You might as well just start with, I don't floss. I sometimes go to bed at night and I don't brush my teeth. I don't know.
Exactly.
Whatever that situation is,
Yes.
being honest is going to be so much better for you. And in the world of medications, when I see it on the pharmacy side, I see it because there's a lot of issues with sometimes it's a social issue where, no, I can't afford that medication. So I don't take it every day. I only take it once a day instead of my two times a day. Or I take it three times a week instead of every day because I can't afford it. And that in itself is, yes, you're being vulnerable. But as a pharmacist, I was able to do things with that knowledge. I was able to take them off of the expensive one and an alternative one. Well, why don't we try this one so that it might work better for you? Or I never take that with food. It makes me, I can't eat with that. It's in the first thing in the morning. I don't have breakfast. I'm not eating with it. Okay, well then that's probably why you're getting some of these side effects. So we do add medication after medication after medication. Sometimes that doesn't need to happen if we look at how we're taking the medication and what we're doing with the medication. And we don't know that, right? So we have a whole list of drugs that you're taking and how you're taking it. And we ask you, oh yeah, I take that twice a day. I take it. So now all of a sudden it's like, well, why isn't that working? Let's increase it to three times a day. So you're harming yourself if you're not being honest. So it's really important that when I say be truthful, be clear and concise, take away your inhibitions of embarrassment and judgment. And if you are being judged and someone says to you, like I was being in the sense told, no, it's just a polyp. Like it's just going to be fine. I knew and listened to your gut. I knew this was not that. There's no way someone, does what I did for 4 months going through this because of a polyp. Like that's to me, that was like, okay, I'm not going to argue because I'm not going to get anywhere with this, but I asked for my second opinion. That's what I did. And so that's where your gut tells you, and you have to listen to that. And I think as caregivers, it almost strikes even more a chord because you are in stress. You're watching someone you love really suffer. And as a caregiver, I think it's really hard because you want to make the right decisions and you want to do the best for the person, but you don't really know what they're going through either. And so you're trying to gather that information so that you can speak up for that person. And I know as a pharmacist, I've had to advocate many times and I've done it in my personal life. And it's hard because you feel that stress and you feel that responsibility. But even in that, write things down, ask the questions yourself, write them down and present them and do the best that you can as an advocate. But you're still, even as an advocate, going to have a gut feeling about something. And I say, trust your instincts. It's the best thing. I don't know why or how we have these things where you just know something's not right, but listen to that and trust it and act on it.
100%. They say we have three brains. We have our brain, our heart, and our gut. And those are
Right.
the three things. And di different times, different ones are more prevalent, and you have to go by them. And also when you're talking about medications too, and asking the pharmacist, you could also sometimes the pharmacist knows about coupons. And also if you go to the company that's making the drug, they actually have coupons and they have things for people who can't afford it. They will give you certain codes or certain coupons to give the pharmacist, so the pharmacist can implement it into their system, and you can actually get the medication at a lot lower cost.
Oh yeah, there's networks, the MedAccess network. There's lots of resources where there's people that help to advocate and find grants and find things for you, even hospital bills. So there's definitely accessibility to this, but if you don't say that this is one of your struggles, then nobody knows to help you, right? So I have seen that where it's really important that you do speak up about those things and not be embarrassed that you can't afford the medication because some of these are
Extreme.
extraordinarily expensive and it would, you have to be at such a high income bracket to be able to afford them, but they're life-saving and that's why, it's important for you to speak up about that.
Yeah, my medication alone, if I didn't have health insurance, one bottle would be $1,800, for the month, and another bottle would be $1,600 for the month. And even with insurance, I have one of the top insurances and the top plans, and I still pay $150 for each bottle. So, it's very expensive, and I take three different bottles. So it's 450 a month. That's a lot of money. Not everybody
Oh,
can
sure.
afford that, but there are ways to work around it. And even if you go to the hospital, if you belong to a clinic or you go to the doctor, they know places that they could get they can get help. They could actually reach out to the state, and the state has programs. So there is lots of ways and loopholes to get medication that you need at a lower cost. It's just people have to be educated in it. But I would just want to just ask you, like, from today's talk, because we touched a lot on different things, and I hope you come back on the show because I'd like to continue this conversation. But what are some of the main takeaways that you really would like to emphasize to the listeners right now, and make them understand things that you think are important in our from our discussion?
Number one, I think the notion that everything in healthcare is safe and just listen, follow the orders, just take the instructions exactly and just do them, that misconception needs to be set aside. I think you need to go into your healthcare journey understanding that errors do happen and you're the best person to prevent those errors from happening. And how you do that, again, it's just those three key principles. ACE, make sure that you advocate for yourself, you be vigilant, you listen to your instincts, you get yourself into a situation where you have a safe space and that you feel that you can be seen and heard. You communicate all openly, honestly, you track your signs and symptoms, you present those, you have a good family history, whatever that looks like, get your medical journal and get that in place. And then you educate, you find out what your signs and symptoms are, how you treat it. Understand the risk versus benefit and continue to monitor that treatment plan and seek help throughout that when things aren't going according to plan. That is going to help you in your healthcare journey immensely, and it's going to make you feel like you're an active participant in it, which gives you ownership and gives you pride in knowing that your journey is in your hands, and that is critical.
100%. Now, can you tell us where we can contact you? Do you have a website that you'd like to share, or maybe some social networks that you'd like to mention?
Sure. I'm at lydiamolinara.com. That's my website. There's an ability to email me directly there. I have started my Instagram, which is at Lydia Molinara, my TikTok at Lydia the RX, and my YouTube has the TEDx talk. So if you just Google Lydia Molinara TEDx, it'll come up and I share more about this information. And it's just really insightful. And I think it helps so many people. And I've been graced with the really great comments of continue this work. So that is what I'm trying to do is reach as many people to get them to understand their healthcare journey can become positive if they implement these skills.
I love it. I love it. I think this is wonderful because you always hear people, talk negatively about their healthcare experience. And if they, there's so many options and things out there. If they learn how to do certain things the right way, if they learn, some of the loopholes and some of the things available, it could be a total turnaround to their negative experience into a positive experience. It's just sometimes people don't know their rights, people don't know about certain things, and if they understand what they're entitled to, it could make a huge change in their life. So I'm so glad you're doing this, Lydia. I really commend you. I really think we need more people like you out there in the world advocating for, different patients and people struggling with different conditions from all different economical, situations. People like you make a difference in this world. So I just want to say thank you. Thank you for everything you do.
Thank you for allowing me the opportunity to provide more information to more people. I appreciate it.
Oh, you're very welcome. I want you to have a great day because you definitely deserve
Thank you. You too.
it.